Welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. Producer Nate Vaughn is here, and we are in Xfinity Studios at Winter Park in the middle of and kind of at the end of a weird week in Vikings land. So we apologize for the delay in getting the Wobcast up. It's already Wednesday, but Nate and I were waiting in line at the McDonald's drive-thru for our cheeseburgers, and we ended up getting shorted and only got one each after we ordered two. So we had to go inside and straighten all that out. So we apologize for the delay, but here we are. It's a weird week. You heard the Thursday Night Football theme song coming into the Wobcast today, and that is because the Vikings are traveling to Arizona today on Wednesday to play the Cardinals on Thursday Night Football. A big matchup for both teams on a short week. The Vikings going in a little bit banged up. Before we get into that Vikings-Cardinals game, let's look back briefly on last week's game, a loss to the Seattle Seahawks. Okay, let's breeze through the good and the bad as we normally do in the Wobcast after a game. The good, Danielle Hunter, another tackle for loss. He has a tackle for loss in four straight games and in five of his last six games. So Danielle Hunter really coming on strong here in the later stages of the season. That's good to see. He's done a good job rotating in and out with Brian Robinson all season. That's been a good position for us because B-Rob has had a pretty good season and Danielle Hunter has had a nice rookie campaign. And then Cordarrelle Patterson, a 101-yard kickoff return for a touchdown for Cordarrelle. The Vikings' only points of the game coming at the hands of Flash. He is number one in the NFL in kickoff return average at 31.1 yards per return, and he is number one in the NFL in kickoff return touchdowns with two. So a bright spot in the game last Sunday for the Vikings was Cordarrelle Patterson housing a kickoff return to give the Vikings their only points of the game. The bad from the game, let's focus on injuries. No Linval Joseph or Andrew Sendejo going into the game. And then in the early stages of the game, Anthony Barr and Harrison Smith were forced out and did not return. Robert Blanton had to leave the game for a short period of time. Antone Exum had to leave the game for a short period of time. So with Smith, Blanton, and Exum all dealing with injuries, there was a point in the game where Terrence Newman had to play safety. Trey Waynes came in to play corner. That's how banged up the Vikings were at safety. And they remained banged up at safety so much so that they signed Sean Prater during the week to give them a little bit of depth at the position. A couple of other things that we'd like to improve upon. Pass protection wasn't quite there at a consistent level. That needs to get better. And I think if the pass protection ails can be fixed, a lot of other things on offense are going to start to look better. Now, that's not all at the hands of the offensive line. Running backs and tight ends are involved in pass protection. The quarterback's got to get rid of the ball on time. Receivers got to get open. So all those components have to work better together to help improve pass protection. And then penalties. The Vikings, one of the least penalized teams in the league throughout the season, but they were penalized 9 times against the Seahawks. So we did not like that either from the game on Sunday. All right, enough about that game on Sunday. We need to take a look around the NFC North because there was a shift in the division with the Packers winning last Thursday night and then the Vikings losing to the Seahawks on Sunday. There was a shift. The Packers are now in first place, but let's take a spin around and take a look at the rest of the NFC North. To do that, we bring in producer Nate Vaughn. Hey, Nate.
Hello, Wobby.
All right, you got some bad news for us on the NFC North update this week.
Bad news. We play Thursday night this week. If you look at last week's Thursday night game, the Packers defeating the Detroit Lions, who you could say outplayed Green Bay for most of the game until it really mattered at the end when Rodgers threw a Hail Mary to win the game.
Well, literally, Detroit outplayed Green Bay for 60 minutes, if you think about it. Yeah. Because the winning play came on an untimed down with no time on the clock, an untimed down because of a face mask penalty on the on what should have been the last play of the game. The Packers get an untimed down, throw a Hail Mary, they catch it, and I was sick to my stomach.
Yeah, that was a rough one. So the Packers defeat the Lions 27-23. Packers now 8-4, the same record technically as us, having beat us here in Minnesota, claiming the first place spot in the NFC North.
For now.
For now.
Yep.
We'll see if we can change that this Thursday night. The Chicago Bears fell to the Blaine Gabbert-led 49ers.
That's an upset.
26-20.
Yeah.
Blaine Gabbert was the leading passer and rusher for the San Francisco
49ers. Was he really?
He had
a long touchdown run. That made him the leading rusher.
Yeah. The once hot and very scary Chicago Bears at least cooling off a little bit, it seems.
I thought that that's, you know, for Chicago, we don't know what's going to happen, but it looks like the Bears are going to have a tough time getting into the playoffs. So let's say that they don't make it. They will look back on that San Francisco loss as one that they really would like to have. Because if they win that game, I think it gives them a lot of momentum. And it really puts them right in the mix of the NFC playoff picture. Right now, they're kind of on the cusp of being out of it at 5-7 with two teams in their own division ahead of them.
Like you said, Bears 5-7, falling kind of in towards the bottom of the wild card discussion. Third in the NFC North, but also two other 5-7 teams and two 6-6 teams ahead of them in the wild card discussion. So you're right, going to be a tough road for them. But, I mean, we've seen some crazy things.
Right. And they would love to spoil our playoff party next week. You know, I mean, they're even if they lose this week, and you're going to go through who each team has after I'm done here. But even if they lose this week, you know, they're going to come here in week 15, and they're going to want to beat us to try and knock us down. So
week 14 matchups: the Vikings against the Cardinals on Thursday night, the Lions visiting the St. Louis Rams. Both of those teams 4-8. The Lions still, you would say, playing well even after that loss to Green Bay.
Definitely.
And the Dallas Cowboys are visiting the Green Bay Packers. Packers at 8-4, Cowboys at 3-8.
Right, and Washington is at Chicago. So Chicago will, you know, Chicago's not out of it, so they're going to try and win that game, obviously, and try and get themselves back in it at 6-7, and if the Bears can get enough help and have us, the Bucks and the Falcons lose, they're still kind of in that mix, and that's a game at Soldier Field that you probably would favor the Bears slightly. So some important games in the NFC North this week, Nate. The Lions Rams game is kind of a dud and doesn't really have any implications, but the other three games do, with the Vikings at Arizona, two of the better teams in the NFC. The Cowboys still not out of it in the NFC East at Green Bay. Green Bay trying to win the division and trying to push the Cardinals perhaps for a first-round bye. And then, of course, the Redskins, who are fighting for position in the NFC East against the Bears, who are hanging on for dear life. So a lot of big games in the NFC North this week. All right, let's go back to the Vikings and talk about their game coming up against the Cardinals. Nate has three threats, three members of the opposing team who pose as threats for the Vikings this week. Who you got, Nate?
We'll start in the defensive secondary for the Arizona Cardinals. You got to start with Honey Badger. He's having an unbelievable season back there in the defensive backfield, and is a big reason why their defensive side is almost as strong as their offensive side of the ball.
No doubt about it. He plays nickel corner for them, and he also plays some safety. He can blitz. He can cover. He's very good in pursuit. And he plays with a lot of energy. And I watched some tape of him, and I don't like the comparison thing where you compare one player to another, because I think it limits your mind's ability to fully assess a guy, and you just kind of get lazy and think one guy is the same as the other. But really, like, when Troy Polamalu was in his heyday, I think that's how Honey Badger can impact a game, kind of in the same way as Polamalu. I think Honey Badger is a little better agility wise and is a little better as a slot corner, but when he's kind of a joker defender and in the box defender, he plays a lot like Polamalu did, and he's dangerous. Got to watch out for him. He constantly is making plays behind the line of scrimmage.
We're going to stay on the defensive side for Arizona and look at Deon Buchanan. Was a safety coming out of school. Now they have him at outside linebacker for the most part, but he's one of those players that can, kind of like Honey Badger, who can play all over the place.
Yeah, he also reminds me of Cam Chancellor a little bit, because he's always in the box, close to the line of scrimmage, very good run defender, instinctive, unafraid, physical, and he's got enough athleticism to run with your tight end or to run out to a hook zone or to the flat to cover a back or even a receiver on an intermediate route. So he's a really good player for them. Probably one of those guys where everyone talks about Patrick Peterson, the corner. Everyone talks about Calais Campbell, the defensive tackle. And then everyone talks about Honey Badger. But really, if you talk to coaches and players, they'd tell you that Buchanan is as important as anyone. A lot like how we would talk about Rhett Ellison on offense. You know, Rhett's never in the box score, but he does so many different things very well that he's a really valuable player for us who's underrated. I think Buchanan is that way for the Cardinals.
And in the offensive backfield for Arizona, they've seen a few injuries, which you'll hear more about from some of those Arizona Cardinals insiders in a little bit. But David Johnson, the rookie out of Northern Iowa, is stepping up as their lead back now. Saw quite a bit of action early in the season. That sort of dwindled a little bit with Chris Johnson's kind of explosion in the middle of the season. Chris Johnson's hurt. Andre Ellington is banged up. In steps David Johnson, and really they don't miss a beat.
Yeah, I think he's going to start on Thursday night. He's big, but he still has good speed. He catches the ball well out of the backfield. He's a physical runner. And one cool stat, Nate, that you found, David Johnson and Gale Sayers, the only rookies in league history with four or more rushing touchdowns, four or more receiving touchdowns, and a kickoff return touchdown in their rookie season. So that kind of tells you how much David Johnson is impacting games for the Cardinals.
All right, now that the three threats are out of the way, we're going to take a look at a fan question.
Okay.
This fan question is from Preston from Terre Haute, Indiana.
All right, bring it on, Preston.
He wants to know why the offense is not more centered around Teddy Bridgewater. He says he understands we have one of, if not the best running back to ever play, which we wouldn't disagree with.
Adrian.
But for an offense to be good, he says the offense must be centered around the quarterback. Is he correct?
This is the NFL. It's a pass-happy league that's driven by quarterbacks and head coaches, in my opinion. So I get where Preston is coming from. But to me, I don't think establishing, building, and running a successful offense, I don't think is about centering it around any one player. I think what if you talk to Norv or any longtime coordinators or coaches, what they want to do is establish a system. They want to have a system in place where everyone has a role and everyone executes that role consistently. Some players have larger roles than other players, but everyone has a role. That's what I think it's about. I don't think that coordinators and coaches design offenses and call plays and design plays to feature individual players very often. On a rare instance, they might. Like in the red zone, the Atlanta Falcons probably have some Julio Jones plays. But your base offense, what you do for the most part, is not ever really centered around a player. It's centered around a system. The New England Patriots are a great example. Tom Brady is maybe the best quarterback to ever play the game. But Tom Brady has operated differently throughout his career. In 2007, it was the deep ball to Randy Moss a bunch. Now, with Julian Edelman and Gronk, it's the short passing game. So I think it's all about a system. You want to get a system in place. You want to get players to be in that system year after year after year. You might have to change a few parts here and there every season, but for the most part, you got guys who know that system like the back of their hand, and they can run it, and they can perform consistently within that system. That's what I think it's about. I don't think it's about centering it around the run or the pass or Adrian or Teddy. I think it's about having a system in place that guys can operate and execute consistently. All right, let's get to the DraftKings extra point. A couple of our counterparts with the Arizona Cardinals came on to Vikings game plan and gave us their perspective on the Arizona Cardinals and Minnesota Vikings matchup. Here's what it sounded like.
The Arizona Cardinals on a six-game winning streak. Your Cardinals insiders, Darren Urban, yours truly, Paul Calvisi here in Arizona. Cardinals avenged that loss to the Rams in week four, and they did so in convincing fashion, did they not?
Yes, they had a season high in yards, over 500. They continue to score at a record pace for both this franchise and in the NFL. They're number one in the NFL in both points and yards, offensively with 175 yards rushing. There's really no place they can't go and move the ball, and yet they continue to talk about what they're not doing instead of what they are doing.
And they really haven't put together their best game. At least that's what guys continue to say in the locker room. And they did so with two backup running backs, and David Johnson and Kerwin Williams. And there was a lot of dire forecasts out there when they lost Chris Johnson and Andre Ellington.
No, and obviously David Johnson stepped in, did a great job, not just running the ball and catching the ball, but in blitz pickup. I mean, I think they couldn't have asked for a better first game for the rookies.
All right, so the Cardinals are number one in offense. They're number one in scoring. They're top five in defense as well. And I think the stat to me that stands out over the last two games, they've held opposing offenses to 1-for-21 on third down.
They've been incredibly efficient defensively. There's no question about that. And I think at this point, it's about looking forward and making sure they're in the right position for the playoffs, because that's what the season has turned into with four games left.
And guess what? The Minnesota Vikings, that could be a key component as to who's at home. And if you're in Arizona, you definitely don't want the elements in the middle of January as they go from Todd Gurley to Adrian Peterson. That'll do it. That's a look at your Arizona Cardinals.
So there's your opposition viewpoint going into this Thursday night game. Fair to say they're fairly confident in their chances?
I think so. I think they feel pretty good about their team. So good for them. They're 10-2. They get to feel good.
That's true. Do you feel good about your over-unders?
If
you just look at the record, I don't think you would.
I don't like where I am record-wise. I don't know how I did last week, so I'm curious to hear what the results are, but I don't like my record.
Well, let's talk about it.
Okay.
You entered the week 15-17.
Yeah.
So 2 under .500.
Not acceptable.
Not acceptable. Let's see if you can get that back up. The first over-under we looked at was Jarius Wright receptions. We know he had a big game at Seattle last time they faced each other, burning Richard Sherman for a touchdown.
Yeah, that's what he does.
That's Jarius Wright. So we put the over-under on receptions for Jarius in this game at 3.5. You took the over. You thought he'd get quite a few targets. Ended up he had 2 catches for 24 yards. So the under would have been the wise choice there.
Okay, so we're already off to a bad start because just peeking ahead, that drops me to 15-18, so I can't get to 500 in this session of over-under, so I'm already disappointed.
But there's a quick turnaround this week. You can get right back up there.
All right.
Russell Wilson rushing yards. We put the over-under at 27.5.
Yeah.
You took the over. You were correct. Statistically, he had 9 runs for 51 yards and 1 touchdown, and if you remember, he had another very long, I believe, 50-plus yard touchdown run that was called back.
Yep.
So it could have been, the damage could have been even worse. But in this instance, you were right in choosing the over.
Yeah, Russell Wilson was playing awesome on Sunday, and not awesome for us, bad for us, but just looking at him from an objective point of view, he was playing lights out. And I want nothing to do with Russell Wilson anytime soon.
Playing as well as any quarterback the past few weeks.
Yep.
The third over-under we looked at was game point total. We put the over-under at 42, which was a fairly low number if you look at most games around the NFL. You took the over, and you were right. It wasn't much over, but it was. The total of 45 points scored in the game.
Yes. And, that game just got sideways for the Vikings, and playing without Harrison Smith, Anthony Barr, Linval Joseph, Sendejo ends up leaving the game. That game, I think, with the Vikings healthy, that game does not go over 42. But things just got left-handed, and it snowballed and didn't go the Vikings' way, and that's why that game ended up going over. That game, the 38-7 score, that's not – I don't think that's what most people saw coming, but you didn't see those injuries coming for the Vikings either. If both teams are healthy, a Vikings-Seahawks clash like in the playoffs, that will be a low-scoring game and would be a lot of fun to watch.
You finish the week at 2-1. The road back to .500, you're at 17-18.
Yep.
So this week could be a big week for you.
Here I come.
Let's move right into this week's over-unders. Let's look at Vikings interceptions. We know Arizona, with Chris Johnson, actually, they ran the ball quite a bit still, too. But you think of Arizona, you think of airing it out, passing attack. If the Vikings can get an interception and we put the over-under at .5, do you think the Vikings will have a pick in this game?
Yep, I do. I think we're going to have a pick in this game. And listen, Carson Palmer's playing as well as any quarterback in the NFL right now. He's a legitimate MVP candidate, and he's a comeback player of the year candidate. But I think he's going to throw a pick to us in this game. I think the Cardinals know that we're down Harrison Smith and Anthony Barr in the back end. And they're going to attack us through the air a bunch. And Carson Palmer's going to put the ball in the air a bunch, and we're going to get one of them at least.
We talked a little bit about Honey Badger and the way he can affect and change a game on the defensive side of the ball, one of those ways being tackles for loss. Do you think he will have over or under 1.5 tackles for loss in this game?
I'm going to take the over in this. And they play Honey Badger in the box a lot, and we have a lot of negative runs. We have a lot of long runs with Adrian, but we also have a lot of negative runs. So I think that Honey Badger will have over 1.5 tackles for loss.
Finally, we're going to look at Jerick McKinnon touches on the offensive side of the ball. He's seen a little bit of an increased role the past 2 weeks. 5 rushes against the Atlanta Falcons, 4 rushes and 3 catches against the Seattle Seahawks. So that's an average of 6 touches over the last 2 games per game. Let's see if he can have even a few more touches. We're going to put the over-under at 8.5 offensive touches for Jerick McKinnon.
Man, I go back and forth on this one. I'm going to go under, though.
Under.
8 rushes for Adrian last week. I think the coaching staff is going to be conscious of that in their play calling. And I think they're really going to try and establish the run. But I could, you know, in the passing game, I could see Jarrett getting a bunch of targets too. I go back and forth on this, but I'm going to stick with the under. I think you've put a good number on the table right here at 8.5, and it's going to hover right around 7, 8, or 9. But I'm gonna lean toward the under. Before we go, Nate, a couple more things to clean this up. Let's take a look at the playoff picture. You want to start in the AFC or the NFC?
Let's start with the AFC.
All right, AFC. Patriots have lost two straight, so they've gone from the first seed to the third seed, replacing New England as the first seed in the AFC. The Cincinnati Bengals, second seed Broncos, third seed Patriots. The Colts right now are leading in the AFC South, so they are the fourth seed. Now, where it gets interesting, I think, in the AFC is the fifth seed, your Kansas City Chiefs. They're hot right now. Andy Reid doing a fantastic job without Jamal Charles. The Chiefs are at 7-5 right now, and they have games coming up against the San Diego Chargers, the Baltimore Ravens, the Cleveland Browns, and the Oakland Raiders.
And what seems like forever ago, we were the last team to actually beat the Chiefs.
Wow. So we're the last team to beat the red-hot Kansas City Chiefs, and we're the last team to beat the undefeated Carolina Panthers in the regular season.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah, amazing. So I love the Kansas City Chiefs right now. I don't think there's enough season left for them to catch the Broncos, but they're going to be the fifth seed in the AFC. They're going to play the winner of the AFC South, which is going to be the Texans or the Colts. They're going to win that game, and they're going to play the one seed in the divisional round of the playoffs, and I can't wait for that game. I think the Chiefs are a team to watch in the AFC. The sixth seed right now is the New York Jets at 7-5, but the Steelers are also at 7-5, and so it's a little crowded because other teams in the hunt, aside from the Jets in the wild card round, the Steelers, the Bills, and then the Texans are hovering right there at 6-6, but they got their eye on the AFC South crown. So I think it's going to be interesting in the AFC. We go to the NFC. Carolina Panthers undefeated. Of course, they're the one seed. The Vikings are the fifth seed, but they play the second seeded Arizona Cardinals on Thursday, of course. So that'll be a battle everyone will keep an eye on. Packers are third. The Redskins, leaders of the NFC East, are fourth, and the Seahawks are the sixth seed. So the NFC, just like the AFC, a crowded field, also in the hunt in the NFC. Tampa Bay, who I think is the Vikings' top threat in the NFC wildcard chase right now, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 6-6. The Falcons are 6-6. You can't count the Eagles or the Giants out at 5-7 because they're in the NFC East race, and the Bears are hanging on by a thread at 5-7. You take a look at the remaining opponents for the Vikings. It's the Cardinals on Thursday, but then it's the Bears in the hunt. It's the Giants in the hunt, and then it's the Packers who are in the hunt. Team to watch out for, of course, is the Seahawks right now in the NFC. They are surging, just like the Chiefs are. The Seahawks are a surging team right now at 7-5, and they have a pretty favorable schedule coming up at Baltimore this week, Nate. Then they play Cleveland, then they play St. Louis, and then they close the season at Arizona. Of course, that's a great matchup, but if Arizona can't get any higher in playoff seeding, they may rest that week, and the Seahawks could get a victory in Week 17 as well. The Seahawks might not lose a game to close the season here, so they are red hot right now. So crowded playoff fields in both the AFC and the NFC. Four games to go. The final quarter of the season begins this week. Teams to root for this weekend, folks, aside from your Minnesota Vikings, you are New Orleans Saints fans. I know that's weird to say because we don't like the Saints, but you like them this week because they play at Tampa Bay, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are public enemy number one in Minnesota right now because they are your best bet to knock the Vikings out of the NFC wildcard picture. They are at 6-6. I believe they're 5-1 in the NFC, so they have a very good conference record. That's the first tiebreaker when it comes to wildcard tiebreaks. If you don't play a team head-to-head, which the Vikings do not play the Buccaneers this season, the next tiebreaker is NFC record. Buccaneers have a very good NFC record, so we need them to drop a game to the Saints this weekend. You're also cheering for the Cowboys, Vikings fans, because they are at Green Bay. The division is still within reach for the Vikings. In order to capture the division title, the Vikings, of course, have to keep winning, and they have to hope the Packers drop a game or two, because right now the Packers have the tiebreaker by virtue of their win over us a couple of weeks ago. Couple of notes to close the Wobcast. The Vikings playing on Thursday night this week. This Thursday, Nate, is the first non-division Thursday night game of the season. So it's an advantage to play a division opponent on Thursday night because the familiarity that you have with them helps you prepare for them on a short week. So the Vikings done no favors by the schedule makers in getting a non-division opponent for their Thursday night game. Road teams on Thursdays since 2006, 50-71 in those games. So not a terrible road record. Probably not that far off from the average road record in the NFL, but that just speaks to how tough it is to go on the road on a Thursday and win. So the Vikings are banged up. They're on the road, and they're on a short week. No one will pick them to win this game, and sometimes that's just when weird things can happen. So we'll see what happens for the Vikings on Thursday night. They play the Arizona Cardinals down in Arizona. That's going to do it for this week's edition of the Wobcast. We're going to be back early next week to recap the Vikings and the Cardinals, to recap all the action across the league and specifically across the NFC on Sunday's games, and then to look ahead to a huge game next week that the Vikings have already been hosting the Chicago game. So until early next week, that is all. On behalf of username Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. Talk to you guys next week.